This morning I want us to turn to the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, and chapter 49. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 49, and reading from the beginning. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. These few verses at the beginning of this chapter 49 of Isaiah bring before us a description of the servant of the Lord. And there are little pictures given to us in Isaiah of that servant of the Lord, and I want us to think of this, the second one of them this morning. And particularly verse 2, where there's mention of his ministry and the type of work that he engages in and does. But I want to start by asking, or at least drawing attention to, the book that every one of us have in our hands this morning. On the cover or on the spine, you'll find it described as the Holy Bible. And that word holy means that it is separate. It's different. It's something apart, and it is devoted to God. It is simply a unique book. It's not like any other writings. We believe that this indeed is God's word. And God speaks to us through it, here and now, this morning. But not only is he speaking through it, but he is also confronting us and challenging us by it. The Lord pins us down. The Lord opens up our lives. There are times when what the Lord does for us surprises us, yes, even shocks us. Something might be said, or a situation that we're in might be referred to. Something comes across in a sermon which seems to be exactly measured to the situation that you are in. And God's word is describing it, representing it, painting it, but also challenging us in it and out of it. We might come to church and we come perhaps with different attitudes. We might come, first of all, with a degree of complacency. We simply mean, well, I'm going to let everything that the minister says simply slide over my head. Or I'm just simply going to let it go past the side of my life. But whatever happens, it's just simply going to pass me by. Complacency. Or we might come in defense mode. We've come in defense mode and we're not going to allow anything to get into our life or underneath our skin. But something does. Something gets in and it sticks with us and it lodges in our soul or in our mind. We cannot get rid of it. It remains there with us after the benediction and when we've gone from the service. And even out into the working week in a quiet time when we're going somewhere or on our own, when we're alone, something that's said in the sermon comes back to us with an impact, with a power, and has an effect upon us. That is the situation that has been described for us in verse 2 of this chapter of Isaiah. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. As I said, there are little pictures given to us in this prophecy of Isaiah. Four little pictures in all. They're all described as the servant's song. They're not songs that are sung. They're little pictures given to us about what the servant of the Lord is going to be and what he's going to do. To begin with, there is no way of identifying who this is. And sometimes we can be distracted when we read the very first of them to ask ourselves the question, is this not? Who is it? Later on, when you get to the third or the fourth of the songs, only there do we see that it is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ that is described. But let's just listen to what Isaiah is saying about this servant. The first of these songs is found in chapter 42 and the first six verses. And these six verses there tell us about the character of the servant of the Lord. They tell us what he's like, and the familiar words that perhaps we can always remember. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. And these words picture and personify for us the gentleness and the persistence of the ministry and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. A broken reed and smoking flax, something that is almost on the verge of being thrown away and useless and being discarded by people today. But what that passage is saying to us is that nobody, but nobody, is so far gone that they are useless to the hand of the Lord. And we need constantly to be reminding ourselves that no matter how severe or how extreme our condition might be, nobody is beyond the power and the grace, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with and to put right. Sometimes we judge ourselves. Sometimes we've done something that we judge as so fearful and frightening. We've stepped across the line in a very bad way, in a remarkable way, and sometimes we draw the conclusion that we've gone over the top. It's a judgment. It's a judgment that the devil will always foster and will always encourage in the experience of God's people. But we come back to a passage like Isaiah 42, and we are assured that that is not the case. A bruised reed and smoking flax, on the verge of being discarded and useless by ourselves or by others, but not so by the Lord. The character there then is set out for us of the servant. And we come down to this chapter 49 and we see the second image or picture of the Lord given to us here. And here we're given an insight and a glimpse of the kind of ministry that the servant is going to engage in. We're told something else about the servant of the Lord here. And the focus immediately comes in verse 2, he has made my mouth like. The focus is upon the mouth. And of course, out of the mouth come words and sayings, thoughts and ideas. And therefore, we have here the focus upon words. And the way in which this prophet uses swords and arrows and such like, he uses them in an illustration. He's not speaking about physical fighting. What he's talking about is spiritual conflict. The words that are used in spiritual battles. So what can we say then about this verse and about these words of the servant? Let me just simply outline where I want us to go. First of all, we have here prepared words. And then secondly, I want us to think of penetrating words. And then thirdly and briefly, I want us to think of powerful words. So the first thing we see here is prepared words. He has made my mouth like a sword. Well, no, that's not exactly what it says. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. He has made me like a shaft. No, it doesn't say that. It says a polished shaft. And both of these ideas bring home to us the preparedness, the work that's got to go in making both the sword and the shaft, it means an arrow, both the sword and the arrow fit for purpose. The sword has to be sharpened. And that takes time and labour to create a cutting edge. Both sides. If a sword is blunt, a sword is ineffective and useless. It's no good in battle. It won't cut. It won't wound. It'll hardly mark anyone. But here we're told that the word of the Lord is like a sword, a sharp sword. And we are told again, if we know our Bibles, of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where we're told the word of God is like a sharp, two-edged sword. And here we have it, words coming from the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. So prepared, the word from the servant has been prepared. It is sharp. But not only is the sword sharpened, but we're also told something about the arrow. An arrow needs to be balanced if it's going to have a true flight to its target. If there is any kind of roughness on that arrow, then it will not fly straight. It will always be deflected away from its target because of the aerodynamics, because of the roughness, because of the turbulence that even little scalps of wood will cause. It'll deflect it away from its target and its pinpoint accuracy. It will never hit home. But we're told here that the words of the Lord are not just simply like an arrow, they're like a polished arrow. That means all the burrs and all of the scalps are removed from it. It's pure, polished wood. It's therefore accurate to reach exactly the target it's aimed at and for. The words of the Lord are sharp words. The words of the Lord are accurate words. The words of the Lord are personal words. That's the third thought that comes out of this chapter. We're told here where the arrow, the sword is in the shadow of his hand. The arrow is in his quiver, hidden. The idea is of somebody going into battle and they take out the arrow only when it's needed, and the sword when they get into close combat conditions. God's word is personal to those to whom it is addressed and for whom it is intended. God's word is prepared. That's what this passage is telling us about. And how do we apply that to ourselves? Well, yes, there must be a degree of preparation by us. We must be prepared ourselves. When we come to church, we must not take all of the world and the trappings of the world into church with us. There's a separation and a preparation that we've got to engage in to leave things at arm's distance from us. And instead, we've got to focus and we've got to linger on spiritual things. We've got to gather our mind even now from the four corners of the earth where it roams and runs. And we've got to focus on what God is saying to us here and now. To prepare our souls for worship. Who God is. What He is. We've got to think of all the blessings that we've received from them and gather them all together. We've got to come confessing our sins and seeking forgiveness. We've got to come committing all of our needs to God to ask help in all a manner of varied ways. Yes, there is a preparation by us. But that preparation is focused here for us in one particular way. A preparation by us because the passage here says, listen. That preparation requires us to listen to what the servant is saying. And it's very unique, the phrase that it says. It says, listen to me. And that is to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord. And this call that he gives, listen to me, reaches far, near and far. He says, to the islands, listen. To the people from afar, listen. In all the corners of the world, the Lord is a sovereign God. And he has the status and he has the authority to speak to all peoples and to every nation. It is not a tribal, it is not a cultural, it is not a restricted, time-locked God we serve. We serve a God of all the earth, of every generation and time, a God who is sovereign over all things, all people, all places. No prophet ever spoke like that. No prophet ever said, listen to me. Every prophet would say, this is the word of the Lord. Or, the Lord God has said. But you will never find a prophet in the Old Testament that says, listen to me. This is somebody unique that is speaking. They hid themselves. They hid themselves so that the focus would be on the message. This is the word of the Lord. In our own culture, that hiding of the messenger was brought about something similar to the dress I'm wearing even this morning. The minister's dress was supposed to hide any and every distraction that the message would not be lost on the people who heard it. And that's the principle we've got to grab hold of in the clergy's dress. Maybe this has served its purpose. Perhaps there are so few wearing it nowadays that it is becoming a distraction in itself. The principle we've got to get hold of, and we've got to use it, and to make sure that there is nothing to distract from the word that is brought. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He demands a hearing from us for our own good. He says, listen to me. That's the preparation that we've got to engage in. And if we switch off, we're missing something important and vital for our souls. Preparation by us. But there is also here preparation for us. Many a minister can speak of this experience. So often, when we're looking for guidance as to what we should preach on the Lord's day to come. Sometimes the Lord will turn the minister away in a very surprising way to a new passage or thought or subject. And the Lord will open up an unexpected path down which he must go in his thinking and preparation. And there's an altogether different application and conclusion comes out of everything that is being said, done, prepared. And with that kind of an experience, the minister sometimes asks the question, why has this come like this time? And even when it comes to the preaching of it, even when it comes to the preaching of it in a pulpit, sometimes the minister feels that he's done nothing to get across what it says. Sometimes the minister feels after 5 minutes of starting a sermon, it's just as well going home. Let's just pack up and go home. Every minister speaks of that, or should, or could. And it's only later, it's only afterwards in discussion, that we discover that there's somebody or other, or some group in the congregation, someone listening. And what you've got is exactly for that person. The message is prepared just where you are, as you are. What you've got to face, where you're going tomorrow. And it's not long before you realize that there is a preparation of this word for you, and that you're alone with God. Everybody else and everything else fades away into the distance. God is speaking to you. Not what you want to hear, but he is speaking to you of what you need to hear. That preparation of a sharp sword and a polished shaft. The words of the Lord flying accurately to their target he intended them to reach. Yes, that might be a time of challenge. A challenge from the gospel. You have to be born again. You need to believe. God addressing some specific sin or problem or difficulty in your life, and you're pinned down and opened up by God's word. And you can't run and you can't get away. The challenge of the gospel, or maybe the comfort of the gospel, you're struggling through your Christian life. And God's word points up and paints up where the problem is. And God's word directs to where the comfort can be obtained. God's word, prepared for every one of us, accurately, precisely. Take the example of Jonah. Jonah was given a task to do by God, and he ran from it. And that was a big problem with Jonah. But the Lord did not give up on him. Because if you go back to the book of Jonah, you'll find in chapter 1, verse 17, and then chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, this phrase keeps on recurring. And the Lord prepared. And the Lord prepared. And the Lord prepared. To meet the need of this man Jonah, to bring him back to where he should be and God wanted him to be. The preparation of the Lord to meet Jonah, and the same preparation the Lord engages in when he ministers to us and his word comes to us. Preparation. But I want us to think secondly of penetration. The sword and the arrow do what they are intended for. They pierce. They are effective. Just later on in this same book of Isaiah, chapter 55 this time, read these words. For the rain, I'm reading from chapter 55 and verse 10. For the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's going to be effective. It's going to penetrate. The rain falls, and that rain is essential for growth and for effect. So is God's word. It comes solemnly from his mouth. We're told that here. It goes forth out of my mouth. He speaks to us about salvation and our need, our accountability to him. God's word brings home to us spiritual themes and spiritual subjects, things we once ignored, things we once walked past, things we thought were insignificant for us and our living. But then, something happened. God's word penetrated and got inside our life. God's word does not fail or fall to the ground to be trodden underfoot. What God says, they're not just simply words and letters put together, but God's word is an effective message, and it will not return to him empty-handed. It gets inside our soul. It gets inside our life. It does not stay on the surface of our life. The sword and the arrow do not achieve their purpose simply by being left in the scabbard or left in the quiver. Their purpose is to penetrate. Their purpose is to get to the center. God's word, likewise, is to penetrate, to get to the center of your life and mine, to get deep inside us. He speaks about salvation. He speaks about spiritual things. He tells us something new, something we've never heard or appreciated before. We're told again in Isaiah 43, this time at verses 12 and 13, where he speaks about salvation. He says, who will thwart it? Who will let it? Who's going to stop me from achieving my purpose? Nothing and nobody will protect against the penetration of God's word. Nothing and nobody will stop God's cutting through and getting to the center of our lives. We may try to hide. We may try to run. We may try to bury our lives. We might try to cover them up. We might try to put up every kind of barrier or obstacle. But God's word cuts them down, goes round them, goes over them, goes through them. God's word gets inside and brings a spiritual challenge to us all. And we cannot, and God will not allow us to be indifferent, neutral, sitting on the fence when God's word is preached. We read that in Matthew chapter 16, where they said, well, who is the Lord? And they came forward and they says, one of the prophets, this one, that one, the other one. And the Lord says, no. Who do you say? Nailed down, challenged, God's word penetrating and pinning us down, the gospel at loose, let loose inside our lives. Penetration, preparation. The third thing I said we look at, it's a powerful word. We have a passage, we keep on repeating it, the testimony of Joshua in chapter 23, verse 14. God's word has not failed this man in all of its years, in all of the variety of places he's been. God's word has never been a disappointment to him. God's word is powerful, achieving and accomplishing exactly what God says. exactly what God has indicated it will. We quoted there Hebrews chapter 4 and the way in which God's word cuts, dividing asunder, revealing thoughts, deepest, intense motives inside us. Places that we ourselves cannot go, perhaps even with other people or with ourselves. But God's word is powerful, cutting us right to the core, right to the center. And God's word will, as we said, get round every barrier, every obstacle. God's word goes straight to our heart and to our conscience, and we feel the power of it, and we're overwhelmed by it. We painted that picture at the beginning of our sermon. How does the preacher know what I'm thinking or what I'm going through? How does a sermon relate to me? It seems as if God is speaking exactly about me now. That's not the minister, but that's God and his word powerfully working in our lives. The power of this truth let loose amongst us. What do we do with it this morning? It comes to us, it challenges us. Maybe we've come either in complacent mode or in defense mode. Come this morning with our mind running over other things, but God has intervened, challenged us and stopped us. And his word has come home to our souls now. What are we doing with what God is saying? Powerful. Let me try to, we so often use simply words, we keep on talking about what God is saying. Let's go to flesh and blood examples, just as we close, to bring it home to ourselves. Moses, in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, Moses was called by God to be the leader of God's people. But Moses didn't want to be there. And Moses kept on putting up barriers and putting up obstacles. And every one of them were being dismantled. Until eventually Moses turned around and said to the Lord, "Lord, send someone else." And even there God would not listen nor tolerate. But he says, "I'll send Aaron to be your mouth, but you're going. You are my servant. You are going to be my leader of my people." God's word, dismantling every argument, overcoming every obstacle and barrier. God's word, measured, accurate, precise, and powerful, getting into this man's life. Peter. We read there the way in which in Matthew chapter 16 the Lord was telling the disciples about aspects about his death. And as soon as they were mentioned, what does Peter do? Peter gets up and Peter objects and he says, "Lord, you're not going down that road." And he didn't realize what he was saying. He was attempting to stir and to divert the Lord from the path the Father had set for him and the task God had given him. And when you listen to the way the Lord speaks to Peter, there is a fearful emphasis in these words. Here is the Lord, and he doesn't spare Peter an inch. He doesn't spare any feelings of this man. Exactly what Peter needed. The fault had to be pointed out. And the fault had to be removed. Peter, and the way the Lord spoke, prepared words, penetrating and powerful. And there was no protection against them. And the Lord speaks just as plainly and just as powerfully to us today still. Where we need it, the Lord will speak it. Moses, Peter. What about Paul? Paul thought that he had covered all his bases. Paul thought that he had covered every option in his relationship with God. He had kept the law, so he thought, perfectly. He thought that all was well with his soul. And then something happened. And he tells us about it in Romans chapter 7 and verse 9, where he says, the law came into my life and I died. There was a little chink in the armor or the defense that Paul had put up, and God's word got in, and God's word in his soul powerfully dismantled and brought down every single argument and defense that he had put up. It went deep inside his soul. Everything collapsed. He was confronted at last that he was a lost sinner. The Sermon on the Mount. How often you read there what the Lord says. This is what Moses says, but this is what I say. And there, what's the Lord doing? But the Lord has taken his word and he is putting it inside our lives. Inside to our thinking, to our motives, to our attitudes. Because the law of Moses was used only on the outward face of life. It was only the way they did things and how they appear to others. That's all that mattered to these Jews. But the Lord says, no, no, no. God's word is for the inside. And he takes the word and he applies it powerfully, penetrating inside the thinking of these people. So the Lord Jesus Christ is today. We're given here a picture of him. Yes, there's that care and there's that compassion in the way the Lord deals with people. And we must never lose it. But we've got to keep it balanced with the other picture that he gives us. The powerful words that he speaks, the challenges that he puts down, the way in which he has the status and the authority to address us all. He is no meek and mild. He is no meek and mild and inoffensive person. He stands before us today. He speaks with authority and power in such a way that we cannot easily resist. Just you and God as he speaks with you. And he speaks precise words, prepared words, exactly measured to your situation and mine. The Lord speaking. The question the Lord puts there and the challenge he puts, we must listen. Listen to what he is saying and believe the message that he gives. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name for the truth given to us, the way in which thy Spirit helps us to understand it and to apply it, for the way in which thou dost warn us and deal with us in grace, constantly addressing our need and pointing us to a solution to our problem. May we hear and may we hold on to what thou dost give to us. Lord, in thy grace, continue to deal with us in mercy. Speak to us and may we hear. And more, Lord, may we turn to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our only Savior and Redeemer. For we ask it in his name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 at verse 7. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are than honey. Honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. Moreover, they thy servant warn how he his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. Psalm 19 from 7 through to 11. God's law is perfect.